Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're going to be talking about cybersecurity.
Ooh, exciting.
Yeah, right. It's such a hot topic,
Yeah.
and it seems like every day we hear about some new data breach or cyber attack. So we figured it'd be a good time to really dive deep into this world, and we've got a great resource to help us do just that.
Awesome.
Pathway to Cybersecurity, a brand new handbook written by Krishnakumar Mahadevan.
Oh, yeah, MKK.
Yeah, exactly. The MKK. This guy knows his stuff. He's been a leading cybersecurity expert and consultant for over 28 years.
Yeah, he's like a legend in the field.
So we're in good hands with this book.
Definitely.
So in this deep dive, we're going to be breaking down the first few chapters of Pathway to Cybersecurity. We'll be talking about what cybersecurity is all about, why it's so important in today's world, and most importantly, how you can get started on a path to a successful career in this field.
You know, I just started reading this book, and what I find so fascinating is how MKK takes all these super complicated concepts and explains them in a way that anyone can understand.
Oh, for sure.
It's like he's talking directly to you, whether you're a tech whiz or you're just starting to learn about the digital world.
Right.
It's like he gives you that toolbox, you know, with all the tools and knowledge you need to become like a cyber defender.
Okay, I like that. A cyber defender.
Yeah.
I'm already feeling more empowered.
Yeah.
But before we get ahead of ourselves, let's take a step back.
Okay.
What exactly is cybersecurity, and why should we care?
That's a great question. You know, in a nutshell, cybersecurity is basically like the immune system for our digital lives.
Yeah.
It's all about protecting our computers, our networks, our programs, and especially our data
Right.
from all sorts of attacks, from like unauthorized access and data breaches to, you know, complete system meltdowns. And honestly, in today's hyper-connected world, our lives pretty much depend on these
Yeah,
systems.
for sure.
Everything we do, from banking and healthcare to even just like communicating with friends and family,
Yeah, and entertainment.
entertainment, it all relies on having secure digital infrastructure.
Right, so it's not just about like locking our computers and phones anymore, right?
Exactly. It goes way beyond that. Think about like the Equifax data breach back in 2017.
Oh, yeah.
147 million people.
Wow.
That's almost half the US population.
Yeah, that's
Had
crazy.
their personal information exposed. And that's just one example.
Right.
The book actually highlights that the cost of cybercrime by 2025
Right.
is projected to hit $10.5 trillion annually.
10.5 trillion.
Yeah.
That's like more than the GDP of most countries.
Exactly. It's a huge
Yeah,
problem.
those numbers are definitely scary. And you mentioned before that it's not just computers and phones anymore. It's
Right.
like everything is connected to the internet these days.
Exactly. We have what we call this like ever-expanding attack surface.
Right.
They've got billions of internet-connected devices out there,
Yeah.
from smart refrigerators to thermostats, medical devices, even self-driving cars.
Self-driving cars, wow.
Yeah. And then on top of that, you've got the increasing reliance on cloud computing, which presents its own set of security challenges.
Right.
So it's kind of like we're building this bigger and bigger house
Okay.
with more doors and windows every day, but we keep forgetting to install the locks.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like we're living in a digital Wild West,
Yeah, in a
where
sense.
hackers just lurking around every corner.
Yeah, it definitely feels that way sometimes. And that's why it's so important to really understand the fundamentals of cybersecurity, you know?
Right.
And in chapter two of the book, MKK dives into some of these key concepts.
Okay.
And he starts with what we call the OSI model.
Yeah.
That it's essentially like a blueprint for how data flows through
The
networks.
OSI model. Yeah, I've heard of that, but it always sounded kind of intimidating to me, like something only like super techie people would understand.
I know it can seem that way at first, but it's actually quite logical.
Okay.
If you think about it like a layered cake,
A layered cake.
yeah, each layer represents like a specific stage in the whole data transmission process.
Okay.
You've got the physical layer at the bottom, that's like the cables and the hardware. Then you move up to the data link layer, which manages data transfer between devices. And then you've got the network layer that routes data packets and so on.
Okay, I'm starting to see the cake analogy.
Yeah.
But why is it so important for cybersecurity to understand this model?
So the reason is that each layer actually has its own set of vulnerabilities that
Oh,
hackers can exploit.
right.
So knowing how data moves through these layers helps you anticipate like potential attack vectors and
Man.
implement the right defenses at each level. For example, there's a DDoS attack,
Oh, yeah, I've heard of those.
yeah, where hackers flood a network with traffic to overwhelm it. That type of attack specifically targets the network and transport layers of the OSI model.
Oh, okay. So it's kind of like a highway.
Yes.
Suddenly getting jammed with thousands of cars.
Exactly. That's basically what a DDoS attack does to a network.
So the OSI model kind of helps us pinpoint where those digital traffic jams might happen.
Precisely. And once you know where those weak spots are, then you can start building defenses.
That makes sense.
Now, moving beyond networks, another key area is understanding operating systems and how they play into cybersecurity.
Right, because the operating system is basically the brain of our computers, right?
Exactly.
It manages everything from user permissions to security features.
And the book actually highlights some interesting differences between Windows and Unix-based systems like Linux and macOS when it comes to their security approaches. You know, historically, Windows, because it's so widely used, it's been a bigger target for hackers.
That makes sense.
But as MKK points out, Linux and macOS, they have their own security challenges, especially as they become more popular.
Right.
So it's not really about which operating system is better for security. It's more about understanding the strengths and weaknesses of each one.
Right.
And knowing what you're working with so you can tailor your security measures accordingly.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So let's talk about something that always seems kind of mysterious to me. Encryption.
Oh, encryption.
I know it's super important for keeping our data safe online.
Yes.
But how it actually works is still a bit of a black box for me.
Well, you know, MKK actually does a fantastic job of demystifying encryption in the book. He takes us through the history of encryption, from ancient ciphers like the Caesar cipher.
I remember learning about that in school.
Yeah, all the way to the complex algorithms that we use today.
Wow.
But the basic idea is you scramble information in a way that makes it unreadable to anyone who doesn't have the right key. It's like putting a message in a lockbox that only someone with the correct combination can open.
So anyone who intercepts that message without the key just sees a bunch of gibberish.
Exactly. And there are two main types of encryption, symmetric and asymmetric.
Okay.
Symmetric encryption uses the same key for both encrypting and decrypting a message.
Okay.
It's super fast, but it can be tricky if you need to share that key with multiple people.
Right, because if that key falls into the wrong hands, then anyone can unlock the message.
Exactly.
So what about asymmetric encryption?
Okay, so asymmetric encryption is a little bit more complex.
Okay.
But it's also more secure when you need to share information.
Okay.
It uses two keys. A public key, which anyone can use to encrypt a message.
Okay.
And then a private key, which only the recipient has to decrypt it.
Oh, okay. So it's kind of like having two locks on that lockbox.
Yeah.
One that anyone can lock, but only the recipient can unlock.
Exactly. And a great example of this is HTTPS.
Okay.
You know, the thing that secures our web browsing. So when you visit a website that uses HTTPS, your browser actually uses asymmetric encryption to establish a secure connection with the server, and then they switch to faster symmetric encryption for the actual data transfer.
Oh, wow. That's really interesting. I never knew that. So it's kind of like these different layers of security all building upon each other.
Yeah.
But let's talk about the threats themselves, you know. Who are we actually trying to protect ourselves from?
That's a great question. And that's actually what Chapter 3 dives into.
Okay.
MKK takes us into the world of malware and social engineering.
Okay.
They're like the two main weapons in a cyber criminal's arsenal.
So malware is kind of like the brute force approach, right? Like using malicious software to like break down the door.
Exactly.
Whereas social engineering is more about tricking someone into opening the door for them.
You got it. And both can be super effective. Let's start with malware. The book covers the most common types. Viruses, Trojan horses, worms, and ransomware.
It's like a whole digital zoo of these things.
Mm.
What are the key differences between them?
Okay, so a virus needs to attach itself to a legitimate program to spread, like that annoying friend who can't go anywhere without tagging along.
Oh, I know a few of those.
Yeah, we all do. Then you've got Trojan horses, which disguise themselves as something harmless to trick you into downloading them, like a gift box that actually contains a bomb.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
And then there's worms, which are self-replicating and can spread super quickly across networks, like a digital version of those multiplying gremlins.
Oh, yeah, I remember those.
From that 80s movie.
And then there's ransomware, which is basically like digital extortion.
Exactly. It encrypts your files and holds them hostage until you pay a ransom.
Oh, gosh.
Like the WannaCry attack in 2017.
Yeah.
That affected hundreds of thousands of computers across 150 countries. It even crippled critical infrastructure, like hospitals.
It's scary to think about. So what can we do to protect ourselves from all these malware threats?
So MKK really stresses the importance of having a multi-layered defense strategy. antivirus software is still essential, but it's not enough on its own anymore.
Right.
You know, modern solutions now use behavioral analysis and even machine learning to identify and block suspicious activity, even from unknown threats. It's like having a security guard who's not just checking IDs, but also observing body language and patterns of behavior to spot potential troublemakers.
Oh, okay. So it's not just about being reactive. It's about being proactive.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But what about social engineering?
Right.
How do you protect yourself from attacks that target human psychology rather than technology?
Yeah, that's a good question.
You need security awareness training. We need to educate ourselves and others about the different tactics that hackers use to manipulate people into giving up sensitive information or granting access to systems.
Like those phishing emails that try to trick you into clicking on a malicious link.
Exactly. Phishing is a classic social engineering tactic, but there are many others. For example, there's spear phishing.
Oh, spear phishing.
Which is more targeted. The attacker personalizes the email to make it seem like it's coming from someone you know and trust.
Okay, so it's like a con artist who does their research to make the scam more believable.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And then there's pretexting, where the attacker creates a false scenario to gain your trust.
Like pretending to be from your bank.
Yeah, exactly. They might call you pretending to be from your bank or your IT department, asking for your account details or login credentials.
Wow, these tactics are getting pretty sophisticated.
They are. It's getting harder and harder to distinguish between legitimate requests and social engineering attempts.
So it's not just about having strong technology. It's about being aware of the psychological tricks that attackers use.
It's like being street smart, but in the digital world.
Right, digital street smart.
Exactly. And just like you need both physical security measures and street smarts to stay safe in the real world, you need both technological defenses and human vigilance to stay safe in the digital world.
That's a great point. So how do we actually implement those technological defenses? What are the tools and technologies that cybersecurity professionals use to protect systems and networks?
Well, that's where we get into the exciting world of firewalls, intrusion detection systems, and all those other security measures that sound like they belong in a sci-fi movie.
I love it. I can't wait to dive into that.
We'll definitely explore those more in part two of our deep dive.
Okay, awesome. This is already way more fascinating than I thought it would be. See you in part two. Okay, welcome back to the deep dive. In part one, we laid the groundwork, Ray.
We did.
We talked about why cybersecurity is such a big deal these days, this whole expanding attack surface thing, the different ways networks operate, and those tricky social engineering tactics.
Yeah, it's all about understanding the threat landscape, right?
Exactly. But now it's time to put on our digital armor.
Yeah, let's gear up.
And explore the tools and technologies that cybersecurity pros use every day.
Exactly, to defend against all those threats. Huh. Think of it like equipping our digital fortress with the latest and greatest security systems.
Okay, I'm picturing like laser grids, motion sensors, maybe even like a digital moat with virtual alligators.
Maybe not the alligators, but yeah.
Okay, no alligators.
You're getting the idea. So one of the most basic and fundamental tools is the firewall.
Okay.
It acts like a gatekeeper to your network. It examines all the incoming and outgoing network traffic and blocks anything that doesn't meet the predefined security rules.
So it's like a digital bouncer at a club.
Yeah.
Deciding who gets in and who gets turned away.
That's a good analogy. But, you know, today's firewalls are way more sophisticated than just checking IDs.
Okay.
They can analyze traffic patterns, identify malicious code, even block specific websites or applications.
So maybe more like a bouncer with X-ray vision and a supercomputer for a brain.
Yeah, exactly. But even the most vigilant bouncer needs some backup, right?
Okay.
That's where intrusion detection systems or IDSs come in.
Okay, intrusion detection systems, IDSs, these sound like something out of a spy movie.
Yeah, a little bit.
What do they do?
Think of them like security cameras and motion sensors and our digital fortress. They constantly monitor network traffic for any suspicious activity. Like if someone's trying to sneak in through a side window, unlike firewalls, which actually block traffic, IDSs just focus on detecting and alerting you to any potential intrusions.
So it's like a silent alarm that goes off if someone trips the sensor.
Exactly. And there are different types of IDSs, each with their own strength.
Okay.
You've got network-based IDSs, which monitor all the traffic flowing across the entire network.
Okay.
And then you've got host-based IDSs, which focus on the activity on a specific computer or server.
Oh, okay. So you basically want to have eyes on both the perimeter and inside the building.
Absolutely. And then you have a more proactive approach with intrusion prevention systems, or IPSs.
Okay, IPS, intrusion prevention systems.
Yeah, they go beyond just detecting threats.
Mm-hmm.
They can actually take action to block or stop them in real time.
Okay, so if the IDS is the security camera, the IPS is like the security guard who can actually step in and, you know, apprehend the intruder.
Exactly. Now, let's say you're building this brand new digital fortress, right?
Okay.
And you want to make sure there are absolutely no weak points in your defenses.
Okay. How do we do that?
Well, that's where vulnerability scanners and penetration testing come in.
Vulnerability scanners. Those sound pretty straightforward.
Mm.
Do they just scan your systems for any known security holes?
Yeah, they do. But there's more to it than that.
Okay.
They use a database of known vulnerabilities.
Okay.
And then check your systems to see if any of those vulnerabilities exist in your systems. Think of it like a building inspector, checking for cracks in the foundation or faulty wiring.
So it's a way to find those potential weak points before someone else can exploit them.
Exactly. And it's important to run these scans regularly because new vulnerabilities are discovered all the time. But sometimes you need a more, you know, hands-on approach to really test those defenses.
Okay, like what?
That's where penetration testing comes in.
Penetration testing. Okay, I've heard this term thrown around, but I'm not really sure what it means. What is that?
So it's basically a controlled simulation of a real-world cyber attack.
Oh, wait.
Where ethical hackers, essentially the good guys.
The good guys?
Yeah, try to break into your systems to find vulnerabilities.
Oh, so they're like friendly burglars helping you to strengthen your security.
Exactly. The goal is to identify and exploit those weaknesses before real attackers can do so. And penetration testing is really valuable.
Okay.
Because it goes beyond just those automated scans.
Right.
It gives you a real-world assessment of how strong your security posture really is.
So it seems like there's a real emphasis on proactive security in cybersecurity.
Absolutely. It's not just about reacting to attacks after they happen. It's about anticipating them and preventing them in the first place. Now, imagine you have all these different security systems in place, generating tons of data about network activity, login attempts, potential threats.
I'm already feeling overwhelmed just thinking about all that information.
It can be a lot to handle, which is why we use security information and event management systems, or SIEMs for short.
Okay, SIEMs, that's one acronym I'm not familiar with. What do they do?
So think of a SIEM as a central command center that collects and analyzes all that security data from all those different sources, firewalls, IDS, antivirus, software, everything.
So instead of looking at individual security alerts one by one, the SIEM can see the big picture and find patterns and correlations that might point to a larger attack.
Exactly. A SIEM can spot things like a user logging in from an unusual location, followed by multiple failed login attempts on a sensitive server. Those might look like just random events if you're looking at them individually.
Right.
But a SIEM can connect the dots and flag that as a potential account takeover attempt.
Wow. It's like having a digital detective who can piece together clues from different sources.
Precisely. SIEMs are becoming more and more important as cyber attacks get more sophisticated and harder to detect.
Yeah, that makes sense.
They provide that visibility and those insights that we need to stay one step ahead.
This is all super fascinating. But it also seems like keeping up with all these tools and technologies must be a constant challenge for cybersecurity professionals.
Yeah, it's definitely a fast-paced field. The cybersecurity landscape is constantly evolving.
Yeah.
New threats and vulnerabilities are always popping up.
Right.
That's why continuous learning is so critical in this field.
Okay, so speaking of professional development.
Yeah.
In the last part of our deep dive, we're going to explore the different career paths available in cybersecurity and how you can start building a successful career in this really exciting field. See you then. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We've covered a lot of ground, haven't we?
We have.
The importance of cybersecurity.
Right.
That constantly shifting threat landscape, all those tools and technologies.
Mm-hmm.
It's been quite a journey. But now let's get to the part I know you've all been waiting for.
Yeah, the good stuff.
Building a career in this amazing and kind of crazy field of cybersecurity.
Yeah, let's shift gears from theory to practice. How do we actually turn this interest in cybersecurity into a real, you know, fulfilling career?
Okay, so let's say I'm all in. I'm convinced cybersecurity is the path for me.
Yeah.
Where do I even start?
Well, Chapter 5 of Pathway to Cybersecurity is like a roadmap for this exact question. And one of the first things MKK talks about is certifications.
Certifications, okay.
They're like a stamp of approval. They tell potential employers, hey, this person has the knowledge and skills to do this job.
So it's like leveling up in a video game.
Yeah.
But for your cybersecurity career.
Exactly. And just like in those games, there are different levels, right?
Yeah.
You work your way up. One of the most well-known and respected certifications is the CISS.
CISSS, great.
Certified Information Systems Security Professional. It's like the gold standard for cybersecurity professionals.
Wow, this sounds pretty intense.
It is. It covers a wide range of topics, from security architecture and risk management to cryptography and incident response.
So is that something someone brand new to cybersecurity should aim for right away?
The CISSP is more for seasoned professionals, people with, like, you know, several years of experience under their belt.
Okay, makes sense.
For beginners, a great starting point is the CompTIA Security Plus S.
Okay, CompTIA Security Plus.
It covers the foundational concepts, validates your basic cybersecurity knowledge.
So it's like getting your driver's license before trying to compete in the Indy 500.
Perfect analogy. You got to build that foundation before you take on the bigger challenges.
Makes sense.
But
certifications are just one part of the equation, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
You wouldn't want a surgeon operating on you if all they had was a medical degree and no actual experience.
You're right. You need both. Hands-on experience is essential.
So how do we get that?
MKK suggests setting up a home lab.
A home lab.
Yeah. Right. It's a place where you can experiment with different security tools and techniques, you know.
So it's like a mini cybersecurity playground.
Yeah, exactly. You can set up virtual machines. You can simulate attacks, learn by doing, all in a safe environment.
Without breaking anything important.
Exactly. Think of it like those driving simulators before you hit the real roads.
Okay, I like that. Way more fun than just reading textbooks.
Right. What else can you do? Capture the Flag competitions or CTFs are amazing.
CTFs, okay.
Yeah.
Tell me more about those. What are those?
So they're basically cybersecurity puzzles or challenges.
Okay.
Where you solve problems, find vulnerabilities, and capture the flag to earn points.
So you're putting your knowledge into practice.
It's exact.
And learning new techniques.
Yeah.
But also having fun and competing with others.
It's a great way to learn and network at the same time.
There seems to be this theme of having fun while learning in cybersecurity.
It's a big part of it. And then there are internships, of course.
Internships, right.
They give you real-world experience, the chance to work with seasoned pros.
So you see how cybersecurity actually works in a real company?
You're in the trenches with them, learning the ropes.
Yeah. Okay.
It can open doors to full-time jobs later on.
Yeah.
But it's not all about technical skills.
Okay. What else is there?
MKK really emphasizes the importance of what we call soft skills.
Soft skills.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
Communication, teamwork, problem solving.
Right.
And the ability to explain these complex technical concepts to people who aren't technical.
Yeah, that's important in any field, right?
Especially cybersecurity. You could be like the most brilliant hacker in the world, but if you can't explain a security risk to a CEO or a board of directors, it doesn't matter.
So how do you develop those soft skills?
You know, there might be specific courses.
Okay.
But a lot of it comes from just being active and engaged in the community.
Okay.
Go to industry conferences, join professional associations, attend those local meetups.
So networking is key, like in any other field.
Yes. Networking is huge. Conferences like Black Hat and DEFCON are legendary in the cybersecurity world.
I've heard of those.
You can learn from some of the best minds in the industry.
Yeah.
Discover the latest cutting-edge research.
Wow.
Connect with potential employers and mentors.
That's like a cybersecurity enthusiast's dream come true.
It is. And don't underestimate online platforms like LinkedIn.
Right, LinkedIn.
Build a strong profile, connect with other professionals. It can lead to amazing opportunities.
Okay, so it's about building your personal brand, showing people your passion and expertise.
Exactly. And maybe even contributing to open source security projects.
Okay.
Or starting a blog or a podcast. That's a great way to showcase your skills.
Okay. So let's say I've got my certifications, some real world experience, a good network, and I'm killing it online. What's next? The job hunt. Any advice for that?
Definitely. MKK gives some great tips in the book.
Okay.
Tailor your resume.
Right.
Tailor your cover letter to each specific job you apply for.
Okay.
Don't just use a generic resume and send it everywhere.
Okay, so quality over quantity.
Exactly. And look at those specialized cybersecurity job boards and company websites directly.
Right. Go where the cybersecurity jobs are.
Now, the interview. Be ready for both technical questions and behavioral questions.
So they want to know how you think, not just what you know.
Exactly. And how you handle those real-world cybersecurity challenges.
Okay. Good to know.
Mm-hmm.
Any last words of wisdom as we wrap up our deep dive into cybersecurity?
You know, even if you don't nail an interview the first time, it's a learning experience.
That's true.
Take notes on what you struggled with,
okay,
what you felt good about,
yeah, okay,
and just keep improving.
So rejection can be a stepping stone.
It can. And as MKK says, continuous learning is super important in cybersecurity.
Right. It's always changing.
Exactly. This field is constantly evolving. New threats pop up every single day.
So it's not like you learn it once and you're done.
No way.
It's ongoing.
You always got to be learning. You got to be curious, adaptable.
That's what makes it so exciting.
Exactly. You're always challenged, always learning, and you're playing this vital role in protecting our digital world.
Well, this has been an awesome deep dive.
It has.
We've learned so much about what it takes to build a successful career in cybersecurity.
And this is just the beginning, you
right.
know?
Right.
There are so many resources out there, courses, workshops, conferences, online communities. Take advantage of them.
Yeah. Pathway to Cybersecurity is a great starting point.
A great roadmap.
But the journey doesn't end there.
It's a lifelong adventure.
Well said. Thank you for joining us on the deep dive. We hope you found this exploration of cybersecurity informative and inspiring.
And if you have any questions,
or if you want to share your thoughts,
don't hesitate to reach out to us. Until next time, stay curious
and stay safe.